The Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored here on a Wednesday by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like D-Point. If you're a DVC member, this is the app for you. Calculate the number of points needed for a DVC stay in seconds right there in the palm of your hand. Also, don't forget about Days to Go WDW. Days to Go WDW lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, I'm glancing down at my iPhone 5. I'm down to 43 days to go, looking at the awesome statue of Gaston back in the new Fantasyland to get me excited for that next trip. Check them out today. They're over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 743 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rollin from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Welcome to another One Commute Question Show, where this is the show driven by you, the listener. You send in your questions or comments. We read them here on the podcast and talk about a variety of Disney subjects all in one show in about 30 minutes to get you to or from work or school, or maybe just down the road on your jog. So hopefully having a great Wednesday. We're going to get to the questions and have some fun today. So joining me today from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and the Magically Speaking e-newsletter, which you need to get in your inbox every couple of weeks, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
That's right. It comes out tomorrow. So, you know, if you haven't signed up yet, sign up. You'll get it in your inbox tomorrow.
So, where can they sign up today to get it tomorrow?
It is, magically-speaking.com.
There you go.
You'd think I would know that off, you know, hand by now, but yeah, so magically-speaking.com. So.
All right. And we also have from makingmagicandmemories.com, Debbie. What's going on, Deb?
Hey, I'm just loving the fact that we're getting closer to September because I love the burr months and I get to see all my podcast buddies when y'all come down in a few weeks.
That's right.
So it's really a few couple of months, but I like to say a few weeks because it makes it seem faster.
It's actually 43 days. Just checked with Days to Go.
See, nice. There you go. There you go. How cool is that?
Yep. So shade over a month. Not too long.
Woo-hoo. I can't believe it.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What's going on, Pam?
I want a dash in my travel agency website name. I like the idea of a dash.
A hyphen.
Well, you could do that if you wanted.
She's a big cheese there. She can do whatever she wants.
If only you knew how little power I have.
Hey, you're the one who named the website magically-speaking.com.
No, that was not me.
Oh, okay, well then.
But anyways, yes, I'm happy. I love, you know, I say this all the time, but I do love the question shows because you know what? They kind of keep me on my toes, right?
That's
because
true.
It may not be apparent for our listeners to know this when they listen to the show, but we don't know the question.
I don't read them ahead of time. You know, I'll read them like when they come in, but then I throw them in a folder because, you know, I wanted to just be us talking about the questions. I mean, that's kind of how we roll.
No research. Well, that's pretty much typical of our show anyway. It's like our show, really, because it's just four friends getting together to talk. And
you throw
some questions at us and you see our answers. Some are good answers, some are bad answers. But you know what, people? You get what you pay for.
That's right. And the good news is we have great listeners who, when we misspeak, which is more often than we would like, they always let us know the correct answer. Then we get it right back out there. So you might not get the correct answer today, but next Wednesday for sure.
That's right.
Well, I think that should be the tagline for this show.
That's it. And don't forget, we're doing listener question shows the entire week of Labor Day. So the 1st, the 3rd, and the 5th of September will be all listener question shows. So get your questions in, Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com.
Awesome.
All right. First question is about tickets, and it's from Jason in Okemos, Michigan. He says, Mike, I purchased an 8-day ticket from Undercover Tourist for my son about 2 years ago. We have a trip planned for November of this year and plan to use it. I need to upgrade that ticket to a 10-day ticket. I recently read that Disney's policy regarding upgrading third-party tickets may have changed. Now it seems you lose any discount you may have had if you upgrade. Do you know if this is true? Can I figure out how much the upgrade will cost me even if I don't remember how much I originally paid? Can Disney tell me what I paid for the ticket simply by scanning it, even if it was purchased through a third-party vendor? So, I don't know who to ask this one to, Ricky or Pam, I guess would be
Pam.
Better. Okay, so
Ricky. Pam. Now we're fighting on who doesn't have party. To answer the question. Wow.
No, but I think I absolutely think that is true, that Disney has changed their policy in the last year about third-party tickets, and that is true that you do lose the discount when you go for an upgrade or to make any modification to that ticket without just straight using it. So that part, almost 100% positive, is true. Now, the question is, finding out how much he paid, if he can't remember how much he paid a couple of years ago, if Disney will be able to see what he paid when they scan it, I would imagine
that's how he loses the discount.
That's it, because it's gonna come up as, well, how would that come up, Pam? Can you picture this? I'm having a hard time picturing how it would look.
So they'll just he'll have to go to guest services if he wants to upgrade. They'll scan the back of the ticket, and then they'll be able to see what he paid for it. It's just all the information encoded right there on that bar. I'm sure that they'll have access to that, and that's how they know. I think they can tell where you bought it, and how you bought it, and all that kind of good stuff from it. So they'll be able to tell what you pay for it.
See, it's interesting, though, because I would think that it would just show up as that it would come up that way, because I would think, and this is just me speaking, and it probably does, Pam, just like you said, but it would seem like it would just come up if it's a, say you bought the 2-day base ticket for his kid, that it would show up as... Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, the discount through third party, though, through Undercover Tourist, kind of throws me off. I could see that maybe it would show up as the price you would pay when he purchased it, or when Undercover Tourist purchased it back in the day.
That might be it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Other than the discount, because maybe Undercover Tourist is eating a very small percentage for the volume of, you know, tickets they sell.
I think that Undercover Tourist and Disney know what they're selling their tickets for. Right. I mean, I think that that's something worked out in advance. So, I mean, here's the issue with this is... As with all things tickets, this is the ticket policies more than any other policy at Walt Disney World are very challenging because they do change frequently. Especially when you're trying to upgrade tickets to other tickets, especially when you're using a third party ticket, they will be able to tell what you paid for that ticket though. So, that's just something to go in, you know, knowing that. And then just go from there.
Yeah. And it's a shame that you lose your discount because then it's kind of, there's really no good use of that ticket other than just using it. And you're not, then it's not really helping you either, you know, without upgrading. Because we all know that you get the best value out of the tickets on the back end of a Magic Your Way ticket package.
Yeah. And that, I think that's, I'm not speaking for Disney here, but I'm assuming that's why they're doing this, right? Because they want you to purchase their tickets through Disney. I think that's the danger always in purchasing tickets in advance. And we try to warn guests a little bit about this because so often when a promotion comes out, it requires a ticket purchase as part of that discounted package. So you really want to hold off on buying your tickets until you know for sure how you're going to be traveling, because you may end up, like, you may think to yourself, I am awesome. I am going to budget for this vacation. I'm going to buy a ticket for little Jimmy right now, and then Janie in 2 months, and then my ticket after that. And that sounds like a fantastic idea in theory. But what happens if next year when you're ready to go, there's free dining? And so you will miss out on free dining if you are not willing to buy a package that also includes tickets. So I hope that makes sense. It's like a double ticket whammy.
Or you end up with those 2-day Magic Your Way base tickets or whatever the minimum might be, you know, that you can use. Right. You can use them in the future, but then again, are you saving money? It seems like you're always going to be like looking out one step further than you ever catch up to with those tickets in a lot of cases. Unless you're going to go to an annual pass or something and use that value towards an annual pass.
Exactly.
Which happens. Anyway, well, good luck with that and let us know how it goes. We'd love to hear, because follow-ups help us all learn and, you know, let us know how that did work out to you and how you handled it. All right, next question comes from Alicia down in New Orleans, Louisiana. Look at that. I'm saying it like Rachel would say it, Nolens. That's right. So, hi, guys. Love the show. I was just wondering what your opinions are on why Disney is allowing 3-plus-hour lines for Anna and Elsa character meet and greets. Why not have a few different chances to meet them in separate rooms inside Fairy Tale Hall or in different parks? I don't see why they couldn't have stayed in Epcot too. Princesses like Jasmine, Belle, and Aurora are in both parks. Guests would have another chance to see them, and the wait times wouldn't be so outrageous. This seems to be an easy fix on Disney's part. If the purpose of FastPass Plus was to improve the guest experience and get people shopping and spending money instead of waiting in line, I don't see why having people wait so long is advantageous to them. Thanks for keeping us all of us Disney fanatics entertained. We appreciate all that you do. So I think that...
the age-old question.
That's what I say, but I think Alicia is speaking to the choir and is using very clear logic, which is probably probably an issue here because...
You can't apply that to Disney stuff.
No. Okay, so here's why I think that they haven't... It makes complete sense to have, you know, spoiler alert, more than one Anna and Elsa. Yeah. I'm sorry if I ruined anything. I'm sorry.
You ruined the magic for
me, sorry.
Ricky.
Total spoiler alert. Here's some more spoiler alert. So, just warning. I believe there are two Anna and Elsa meet and greets inside Princess Fairytale Hall, if I'm correct, with the way things are. So, there are actually, you know, two sets of Anna and Elsa.
Okay, keep going. There. We know.
Okay. All right. So, what I think the problem is that they did not expect for this to be as big of a hit as it was, and they are having trouble casting Anna and Elsa for the role. So, I know, right?
Bring me Disney.
I know a few people who could probably take the part, but that's from what my understanding of what's going on. Is why they have not added more Anna and Elsa's is casting.
If that was true, though.
I could be wrong, but...
No, that's what I've heard, too.
I can't believe that's really that true. I mean, I can see that you got to have the look, but...
They're very particular.
I get that.
Trust me, Mike. I have my sources, and I think that's what the case is.
If that is the case, I'm just saying though. But if that is the case, and you are Anna or Elsa, I would be holding Disney ransom at this point.
True.
I would be the highest paid cast like member that. On property. I'm sorry.
And that's why they don't make you Anna or Elsa, Mike.
that's right.
The only
I'm just saying. I mean, it's supply and demand. If that is the case, I mean, you would be calling the show. I mean, I'm not kidding from a practical standpoint.
Oh yeah.
Next week, Mike will be Elsa, I'll be Anna. It'll be a little different experience for you. But the weights will only be... The weights will be minimal, I'm predicting. Well, I'm just going to say.
Can I be Olaf?
Oh my gosh. I'm not paying Kristoff. So,
you can be the moose.
Sven.
Wait, what? I'm going to hang up now.
You're going to have a new way of doing your hair, Ricky. We can see that now. There's a girl here in the Orlando area, and apparently she looks very, very much like this character. And she actually, her and her sister dress up like the Disney characters and basically, for money, go out and do parties. I don't know if they actually do money, though, but I think they do. But I know that they go out for parties, so they do shows at the library. She may not make a penny, but still, I'm kind of curious. I haven't heard anything more. I wonder if Disney kind of stopped that since they were kind of portraying themselves as Disney folks like that.
Yeah, I don't think they could as long as they probably didn't use that name. If they used a similar name, I think they're fine.
Right.
I would use like some
Elsa
synonym.
With an A-A-L-S-A
yeah.
or something.
That's hilarious. No, I think that, Alicia has a great point that the point of FastPass Plus is definitely, well, it should be to, improve the guest experience, but also in a secondary level, get people out of lines and, you know, eating meals and spending money in the shops. I mean, that's what FastPass was all about earlier. So
exactly.
Good points. All right. Next question comes from our great friend, Andrew Benford. He's one of our lizards out there running.
Yay.
He says, hi. So we'll see him soon, actually, down at Epic October. He says, hi, Mike, Ricky, Pam, and Debbie. This is Andrew Benford, a.k.a. The Beast, from Florence, South Carolina. Throughout my lifetime, I have always dreamed of working for the Walt Disney Company. And now that I'm an adult, this dream has only gotten stronger. Prayers lifted up and fingers crossed that this dream might become a reality one day. I would at least like to move down to the Orlando area to be nearer to the place we love the most. My dream as a child was to be an Imagineer. I have always loved the creativity and innovation that goes into such marvelous creations. My question is, If you could work anywhere at Walt Disney World, taking out any income experience restrictions or income or experience restrictions, what would it be and why? Thanks, gang, for what you do. I love listening in and connecting with you all through the social media. Can't wait to meet you all at Epic October. Maybe ice skating will still be available and we can all do this as a group. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's a great idea, though.
Fall on my butt.
I like that idea. I never thought about it. That'd be a blast to do a little ice skating. That'd be kind of fun. I don't know if I'm going to be over there, though, but well, yeah, something to think about. So, and he says, oh, yeah, hashtag Seven Dwarves Mine Train meant for Ricky.
Yeah.
Have a magical day. I love it. That's cool. That good stuff, Andrew. That's why we're bros. So anyway, working down there, if experience was thrown out, like we had the experience, qualifications, and income. I think that's the issue, is the income, because a lot of these roles that I would like to do, unfortunately, I just don't think I could support my family the way I need to with a daughter getting ready to go into college and taking care of everything else. But I would, you know, I've said it many years, I would love to be a monorail pilot or work in Disney transportation. I know it's not like an Imagineer or something real high up, but I think it'd be great just to meet people from all over the world and kind of just, you know, talk Disney, talk things, and get to meet people that I would never, ever get to meet. I think that'd be fun to do as a job that I wouldn't have to necessarily work 100 hours a week. I'd like to do it maybe 20 hours a week, you know, is something that was just my fun job. That's what I would like to do in retirement. So what about you, Deb? Where would you work at Walt Disney World?
You know, I always tell people, I was going to Ye Olde Christmas Shop. I love that store. I love Christmas, and I think that would be so cool to work at retail, like rather at the Ye Olde Christmas Shop. Emporium would be fun, but I think that Ye Olde Christmas Shop would be my favorite. The only thing I don't care for is I don't like to do costumes. I'm not big into that. So, but if I had to, I would. Because I think it's cute.
You wouldn't like wearing the costumes. That's fun.
I don't have two costumes. No.
Interesting.
Why?
Interesting.
It's not that I'm fussy about it. It's just that I don't know. Like that, I don't know. Huh. But it'd be kind of fun. You know, just to say I would do that. But I might enjoy it. Who knows? I probably wear it to bed. I just like it so much. Who knows?
And here I am all excited about wearing the monorail pilot red pants or the purple pants driving the buses. I mean, come on. Anyway, so Pam, what would you do?
So, I mean, the idea of being an Imagineer is actually very appealing to me. But, you know, I think the restrictions of that, like coming up with these great ideas and then never seeing them, you know what I mean, transpire would be frustrating after a while, I'm sure. I think, you know, in my heart of hearts, when I think about what would I like doing at Disney, I honestly think being a hostess at like California Grill or Flying Fish would be a really fun kind of job. You would get to interact with people and make things better when things aren't going right. And I really enjoy, you know, doing things like that. I'd love to interact with people. So I think that would be kind of a fun job. Plus you're working, you know, at a great restaurant. So that would have benefits itself. And especially if you were working at California Grill, you'd get to see the fireworks every night. So
that's
it doesn't get much better
idea.
Than that.
Yeah, your shift would only be from like 7 to 10.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, because I can't stay up too late, so I'm going to be limited by a lot of things. But let's just say,
you're like, if I work an 8-hour shift, I have to have a room club level at the Contemporary.
Yes. Okay. So yes, that would be. Yeah, there'd be a lot of caveats there if I were to take this job. But these are all sounding good. So yeah, let's make this happen.
All right, Ricky, where are you going to work? We have a restaurant, a retail shop, and transportation. We're like the dream team.
We are. You know what though? I like Pam. I, you know, of course, would always love to be an Imagineer. Like, that would be, like, the ultimate job. But, you know, where I would actually really like to go realistically, because gosh knows I would never be an Imagineer, but I would really like to work on their social media team. I mean, it's, you know, it's what I do for a living. I have my own company. And, you know, I love social media. I think that there's a lot of things that they do well. I think that there's, you know, that there's a lot of things that, you know, I would love getting to talk to people. You know, I know that they don't do that a whole lot on social media, but they're getting a little better about it, so that's good. And help them plan their vacations and stuff like that. And I went to school for mass communications, so I could create those little videos that they have. And I think that's exactly what I would like to do. I would love to work for their social media team. That's my ultimate
Your
goal.
Your replies must be vetted.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's right. I was
thinking of that. That would be so cool to work at Animal Kingdom with all the animals.
Oh my gosh. That changed your mind.
So cool. I changed my mind. Can I have both? Can I do both?
There you go. You're seasonal. You work at the Christmas shop between October and
there you go.
The end of December, then the animals the rest of the time.
Thank you. Okay.
So I had something I was going to say, and then I totally forgot. But it was, yeah, that's a great question, though, because I think we all dream, and it changes, you know, it changes from day to day. There's a lot of things I'd love to do. It'd be fun. All right, next question comes from Christine Keene. She says, hi, Mike, Ricky. I wanted to write her name just so you could see if I knew how to spell it. She spelled it correctly. Good job, Christine.
All right, good job.
That's right. It's R-A-K-K-I. Debbie and Pam, I was so excited to hear you were able to experience the Frozen Summer Fun, Mike. It sounds amazing, and I am keeping my fingers crossed that it will still be here in October. Well, good job. It will be, right? On the weekends.
September, I thought it's through 28th. October. It expires. It ends right now. September 28th.
I thought it was extended through October.
No, September 28th.
Anyway, oh well. It, I still think it'll stick around.
It probably will, though. But as of right now, September 28th.
And the great movie ride is closing.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure that the reason that American Idol's going though is because Frozen's going in there. So.
Well, what about when the Great Movie Ride closes on September
28th? No, Mike, stop! You've already done that. No.
I am just full of good news.
Listen to the live show if you missed it on Sunday and tomorrow, and you'll understand why we're angry at Mike about that one.
I'm like the Great Movie Ride Grim Reaper.
You are.
I'm standing here with my sickle or whatever that thing's called.
You're predicting it.
That's right. Anyway. Let's see. I wanted to ask you while it was fresh in your mind. Mike, I know you got to experience the fireworks on New Year's Eve at Epcot, and I'm assuming you saw Magic Kingdom on the 30th. So I'm wondering, how would you compare the New Year's Eve fireworks on the 4th of to the 4th of July fireworks? Since this year was an AP year for us, I was really hoping to be down there on the 4th, but it just didn't work out. Disney has pretty much ruined fireworks anywhere else for me because even their nightly shows far surpass most 4th of July celebrations. But I just wondered if someone who has seen the New Year's Eve festivities, if it is really a must-do to see Disney on the 4th. Thanks so much, you guys, for keeping the magic alive for all of us. Each of you in many different ways keeps our Disney fix going, and I so much appreciate it. Hands full of pixie dust, Christine Keene. She's in West Lafayette, Indiana. So thanks a lot, Christine. That's awesome. That is all. Really? Yeah, so you know each other?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I hook up with them whenever they come here.
Sweet.
We try to hook up. Well, not every time, but we try to. We just got through hooking up about a month or so ago. Yeah. Got to feed a squirrel. We played at the Boulangerie de Patisserie in France and hooked over to have a wonderful lunch at La Hosse. No. At the Saint Angelian. So it was great hanging out with them. Yeah. Great couple.
Don't feed the squirrels. It turns them into ninja squirrels.
I know, but I love animals.
You're a nut, literally. Not just a nut you fed to the squirrel.
Just told me that.
back to the question at hand, and I'll throw this to Pam, too. I think the 4th of July fireworks are almost equivalent to the New Year's Eve fireworks. I just think New Year's Eve is slightly different because of the atmosphere is more party-centric than 4th of July. But the 4th of July fireworks are pretty cool, too. The fireworks themselves are pretty much similar. But I think the atmosphere is a little bit better on New Year's Eve. What do you think, Pam?
Yeah, I agree, too. I mean, I think there's, first of all, it's cooler on New Year's Eve. So, when you're standing around in your perfect spot, you really don't mind it as much sometimes, you know, as you do, I think, on the 4th of July. I think that makes things, it can make things challenging when it's that hot. But there's just something about New Year's Eve, I think. Really and truly, there is. It just, I don't know. As much as I am patriotic and love the 4th of July in so many ways, there's just something about kicking off a new year, I think, that puts people in that kind of vibe. So
that's it. And everybody's got a noisemaker. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
30,000 people.
The kid behind wherever I am.
Yes. From 5 o'clock on, 30,000 people around you with noisemakers at Epcot and beer. Noisemakers and beer. It just gets louder.
Always a good combination.
It's not a party.
Yeah, it's all right. So. I don't even drink beer. And it's like, oh, my Lord. Anyway, save it till 11. And so, yeah, I would say New Year's Eve slightly better than the 4th of July, but if you, like you said, when it's, and I'm the same way, like I don't have an AP right now, so this is not my AP year. Last year was. So when you have that opportunity to get down for both, you know, maybe in the next 365 days, they're both very cool. So, but yeah. I would say New Year's Eve slightly gets the nod as far as the environment. All right, last question of the day. It comes from Evan Chason. He says, good morning, Mike. First off, I'm a new fan. Just started listening a few months ago, and I'm hooked. My fiance and I have been to Disney the last 3 years. We are taking a year off this year because we are getting married in September. We got engaged. Listen to this. We got engaged in Cinderella Castle 2 years ago.
Nice.
So sweet.
That's awesome. But what are you going to do on your first anniversary? I mean, come on. It's like, you can't start off that grand. It's nothing else compares. I mean, where else do you go after that?
Wow.
That's pretty cool. All right. My question is a two-part question. We are planning our first anniversary Disney trip. Okay. He's answering his question here. For September 2015 for Food and Wine, and we were wondering if the free Disney dining plan works for a couple. We have done it before, and I thought it worked out great, but have never really looked at it from a savings point. We do a counter service and a table service daily and use our snack credit. Does this make sense for us to do, or should I take the hotel discount? Second question, since it's our anniversary, I'm looking for romantic things to do. What are your suggestions? Keep up the great show. Thanks, Evan Chason. He is in Muthen, Massachusetts, it looks like. Muthen, Massachusetts. So, first of all, congratulations, Evan, on your engagement there in Cinderella Castle, making all the rest of us look terrible. You know, that got engaged on the banks of the Missouri River here. That's where Pam and I got engaged. Anyway, so let's see. So he's looking for the Disney dining plan and whether he should take hotel discount. It's a couple, so it's only two people. And Pam, it kind of depends on where you're going to stay, right?
I mean, absolutely. Yes, it does. So when you're looking into compare and also how you'll eat, that's the other thing that you're going to have to think of both of these things. If you're going to look at the price of the cost of the standard dining plan, it's a little over $60 a night. So your hotel discount or your package discount is basically $120 a night. And for most of the time, that will work out as a good discount for you. Depending on if and when there is a room discount also offered at the same time, you can compare. If you're staying, one of the things you'll need to check is if you're staying at one of the deluxe resorts, whether the free dining or the discount is a better deal. Typically, if you're not staying at a deluxe resort, and this is only if there's two of you, if you're not staying at a deluxe resort, then you're better off. Even then, with free dining, it just typically is a better deal. The other thing to look at is how you're eating. Are you visiting a lot of the buffets or the character meals or things like that? The prices of those are very, well, I don't want to say very high, but you know what it is. Yeah, they are. So anyways, but hey, where else does Mickey come, you know, and see right. your table? It's not happening at my house. So anyways, but look at the price of that because you have to compare. Oftentimes with the all-you-can-eat meals and the character meals, when you look at the price of that and the cost of your counter service, you're well above your $60 that you're paying for the dining plan. So keep those two things, you know, in your mind when you're thinking about that stuff, and then you won't go wrong.
That's good advice. I mean, just basically what I would do is just run the numbers both ways for the date you want to go in the hotel and just go with whichever one saves you the most money. Because I think some people just get freaked out about, because I think Disney's done a great job of conditioning some guests with the dining plan, which is a money savings a lot of times, especially during free dining. But I think a lot of people just can't, once you've been on the dining plan for say 3, 4, 5 years, it really makes it hard to pay for your meals out of pocket, even though technically, it is a savings when you think about it, because you're at a deluxe resort and you're saving so much per night on a hotel. So,
well, and that's the I think, too, it goes both ways, too. There's also a lot of people in the Disney community who are like, no free dining because it's never a good deal because you're always paying full price for the hotel. Well, I mean, you know what I mean? Even like if you're going to be going there and that there's no other discount available, free dining is always a good deal, first of all. but you know what I mean? At certain times of the year, free dining is the only discount that is available at times. So, I mean, you know, I say don't get set one way or the other, because what you're going to, you know, even if you won't use all the benefits of the dining, if it's the only discount available and it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Help me out, people. It's
great. Well, that's one of those things, too, where I would just, you know, just the numbers aren't going to lie. Crunch the numbers. Go with whichever one benefits you the most. But I think the biggest thing is don't look back and regret, like, oh, I should have gone with free dining when I got the hotel discount. You know, because I think people second guess themselves and get buyer's remorse. And you can't do that. I mean, a Disney vacation is about having fun. Just go with it and have a blast. And you got a discount, you know, so. Also, real quick, before we get out of here, one romantic thing we could offer for a first anniversary. So, Ricky, quickly, one thing he could think about doing.
So I'm going to say, because I also got engaged at Walt Disney World, and so the thing that was super romantic for us, well, now, granted, I got engaged at Chef Mickey's, but it was still awesome, not going to lie. I still loved every second.
You could see Cinderella Castle, even though you weren't there.
Right, exactly. I'm going to suggest to go back to Cinderella's Royal Table and have dinner again, because that's where you got engaged. So I think that it makes it extra special to go back on your anniversary.
Ooh, good stuff. All right, Debbie.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I think that would, I did. Seriously, I thought that would be so perfect that Ricky opened her mouth.
Sorry.
So, yes, ditto.
All right, Pam, something romantic.
So I'm going to say go over and visit the Wilderness Lodge at night.
Yes.
Have dinner there. If Artist Point appeals to you, go ahead and give that a shot. We've always had a good meal there. There's also Whispering Canyon Cafe. That's not really romantic, but it is a fun meal.
What? It's not romantic?
Or, you know, something else you could do is grab something from Roaring Fork. Take it out. There's tables outside. Enjoy it there. You'll be able to hear the waterfall. But make sure you take the time to walk around the resort, the back of the resort in particular, at night. It just is really, really romantic. Go sit on the beach for a little bit. Put your toes in the sand. And then before you leave, make sure you walk out the front door because there are crickets at night. And I love that sound. So just go check them out. You'll have a great time.
All right, Evan, here's the correct answer. Let me give it to you
right
here.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding. Just kidding. No, you should take a Wishes cruise. Just rent one of those boats, just you and your wife. And because the thing is, you're going to see the fireworks, and you're going to be overlooking Cinderella Castle from a distance out on the water, just you and your wife and the boat captain. And you can really kind of sit there and enjoy the moment. You know, you got about 30 minutes. You get time to kind of tool around before the fireworks start. But you're still looking at the place you got engaged, but you're watching it with the fireworks, and you have, you know, this madness of the Magic Kingdom with all these people, yet it's just you and your wife enjoying one of the places where it all got started. So that's what I would do.
Sounds fun.
So you got lots of options. So you got to let us know how it goes, what you pick, and all that good stuff. So that's our listener question show for today. Thank you to everybody for sending in those questions. And please do send in your question today to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com, and we'll answer those here in the future, very, very soon, because we're going to do 3 listener question shows coming up very soon, the week of Labor Day. Don't forget, today's episode is brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And as I said earlier, you know, I glanced down when Debbie was talking about Epic October. Boom, 43 days to go. I didn't even have to open the app this time. I could see it. There's a little notification right there on my home screen. So I know that it's almost time to head down to my favorite place, and you can do the exact same thing. And it's great to support the folks who are out there in the Disney community, letting us put out podcasts like this and supporting those folks who, you know, love Disney. It's great to support those folks. So check them out today. They're over at virtualmickey.com. I want to thank everybody who was a part of the VR Guest Podcast live show last Sunday night. We had a great time talking about the Great Movie Ride closing and everything else. Actually, it's probably not happening for the next, you know, couple of days, but, you know, it was a good time, head by all, about Soarin' changing out, all kinds of good stuff. And you know what? If you missed it, we'll put out more misinformation in September. So that'll be on Sunday night, September 21st at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. We sure hope you'll put it on the calendar and you'll join us again Sunday night, September 21st, the next Be Our Guest Podcast live show. Give us a listen over on Magical Mouse Radio. We know that you miss Walt Disney World, and hey, nothing better than some of that great in-park audio and music that you know and love. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Turn it on and leave it on. We're over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And one more favor, if you have a little time today, we'd love it if you drop by the iTunes podcast store, the music store over there, and give the show a review and a rating. That helps us jump up in the ratings and helps us find new listeners out there who are just searching for Disney podcasts. And we're doing pretty good over there, but we would love if you could kind of bump us up just a little bit more so we can expand out the podcast family and find some new friends that love talking Disney. So please do drop by the iTunes music store and rate and review the Be Our Guest Podcast. We'd sure appreciate that. So we're going to duck out of here and let you get on with your midweek. Thank you so much for stopping in and getting a little Disney talk from us. We love talking with you. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great midweek. Stay safe and keep working hard. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.